Good afternoon, Representative Dion and members of the committee. My name is Julia Colpitz, and I'm here today representing the Maine Coalition to End Domestic Violence to testify in opposition to LD 873. The mission of our statewide coalition includes ensuring that all people affected by domestic abuse and violence are supported and that batterers are held accountable. And our testimony today goes directly to those two central missions. When victims of violence enter the grueling and frightening process that is our judicial system, we promise them two outcomes that keep them going. One is justice, and one is safety. This bill does not promote or support either of those promises. Since domestic violence offenders are included in the population eligible for parole, we're concerned both about increased safety risks to victims and the community and decreased accountability for offenders. While this issue is too complex to deal with in 3 minutes, there's a couple of points I'd like to add to this very powerful emotional and real testimony from victims. One relates to accountability. In the last year, there were 5,360 arrests for domestic violence alone. It increased 4.7% over 2010. Since most domestic violence offenses are charged and prosecuted at the misdemeanor level and do not result in jail system time, the people that make it to jail are the most dangerous and the most criminally responsible in the whole group. We firmly believe that those serious offenders must be held accountable for their violent actions to the full extent of the law, and we believe in truth in sentencing. A sentence imposed should be the sentence served. Secondly, around safety. Maine's own data on the rates of reoffense are clear that the majority of offenders reoffend, particularly those offenders in the most severe categories of risk who create the most worry for us. It is impossible to honestly reassure frightened victims that there is any element of safety for them in the earlier release of offenders, when in Maine's history, up to 50% have reoffended within the first year, and 60% within the remaining 4 years. Releasing these offenders earlier simply means reducing that secure safety zone for victims. I've included the data on Maine-specific pieces for you to take a look at out of Muskie and out of our own criminal data sources that demonstrate the significantly high risk of reoffense. And the third piece to consider are available resources. Even if this were a good concept, and that it didn't result in significant numbers of people likely to reoffend back on the streets earlier, the available resources that we have in place simply do not support it. Again, to summarize, the Muskie study was absolutely clear that one of the contributing factors to the rate of reoffense was our inability to appropriately supervise and provide options to offenders. For putting more offenders into that already taxed system will simply make it more likely that reoffense happens because we will not be able to track and offer appropriate services. In summary, our sense is, as noted, that Maine continues to have one of the lowest prison incarceration rates in the nation. The people that we send there are those that are culpable and guilty and need to remain for the full extent of their trial. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Marks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ma'am, thank you.
There's an assumption that everybody can be rehabilitated. That's your thoughts.
I would draw both from my experience within domestic violence, but also from 20 years working in hospital diversion and in forensic units in the mental health system. Not everybody can be rehabilitated. It is simply that sad and tragic. In fact, there are particular groups of people with coexisting disturbances around substance abuse, mental health, and a pattern of violence that will remain at risk for their entire existences.
Senator Plummer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for being here, Ms. Colbert. In your experience, what is it like? Do people relive the event if they have to testify about what happened to them on a regular basis?
I appreciate that sensitive question. And again, I draw from my experience for 25 years as working with people with trauma backgrounds. Yes, in fact, they do re-experience those events. We know about the plasticity of the brain at the moment, that each time they re-experience it, rather than actually alleviating it, it deepens those cords within their brain and within their memory systems. It is not useful to re-traumatize or to ask people to reprocess events that are unreconcilable.
Any other questions from the committee? Representative Kanrath.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You cited a study by the Muskie School. I'm wondering if we could get a copy of that study for the work session, or if we could be, is this the link to it online, if we could see that? I'd like to get more information and see that.
Absolutely. That is the link, and I'd also be glad to provide copies.
If you could, that would be great.
Certainly.
There's probably a lot of good information in that person. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
I have one quick question on that study. Did that measure individuals released from the county system or the state system?
Those that would have been in probation, I believe, through the state system. But I will check to make sure that that's an accurate answer before the work session.
That'd be appreciated. Thank you.
Yes.